Hey everybody, welcome to our new video series, Juggernaut X. This is going to be the story of the last 10 years of Juggernaut Train Systems, which is kind of like my life story for the last 10 years. So make sure you click that little thumbs up down there, like the video, share the video, subscribe to the channel. Thanks for watching. So how did I start Juggernaut? You know, we got to go. It's crazy for me to think that this has been 10 years of doing this. That 2009, you know, 10 years doesn't seem like that long of a time, but to me it seems like, you know, 10 lifetimes really at this point. So for the real story of starting Juggernaut, we have to go back before 2009, I guess. I won't go all the way to say like what I wanted to be growing up as a kid, I guess, but well, I might as well. Yeah, you know, I've always been like obsessed with sports from, you know, as early of memories as I could have, waking up and watching 6 a.m. Sports Center before I go to school and seeing like what Michael Jordan highlights, and then going to my driveway, the basketball hoop in my driveway, and trying to recreate it and announcing it to myself as I was going. And so I always knew I wanted to have a job involved in sports, whether that was, you know, being a professional athlete or a sportscaster, or I wanted to be an agent for a while. And then when I got to high school, I really became very interested in like the physical training side of sport performance training. I began kind of writing my own program to help myself get better for football and for track, throwing the shot put, pretty much my freshman year of high school. So I was 14 years old, and we didn't have like a formal strength coach or anything at our school. So, you know, some of my friends would come and we'd do the same program together, and we were all kind of finding what we could online at the time, which in 2000 was a much different landscape than it is now. So in a way became like, as I got stronger and stronger, became like the de facto strength coach for a lot of the guys on our football team, a lot of my teammates. And then as I got a bit older, going into my senior year or even after my senior season, our head football coach kind of asked me to start working with some of the younger offensive and defensive linemen and help them get stronger and gain weight and all that stuff. So at that point I knew like training athletes, understanding, learning how to get stronger was something I was very interested in, very passionate about. That next summer, the summer going into college, I started running the off-season or the summer strength and conditioning program for the high school football team. I did that for the next several summers, as when I would be home from University of California, Berkeley, where I was on a track scholarship. After my sophomore year at Cal, I decided to transfer. I'd become kind of disillusioned with my own track career. That's maybe a story for a different video on a different day, but at that point, I didn't really have any interest in continuing to throw the shot put, but I did want to coach. So I moved back to Southern California. I began coaching high school football and high school track, running the off-season program for our football team. So I coach offensive and defensive line, and ran the off-season, which for me meant I was there with our two-sport or multi-sport athletes, like football and basketball or football and baseball guys, at 5:30 in the morning. Then I was in there again after school with the rest of the football players, another 85 guys. And it was pretty much just me and these 85 guys, some help from our head coach. But the most important thing for that was it showed me that I loved coaching. I loved understanding, you know, how to help people improve. I was very into, you know, that idea of the weight room being a path to success in these sports, because it very much was for me. I was not, you know, exceptionally gifted, I don't think. Certainly on our freshman football team, when I was a freshman in high school, I was 5'8", 175 pounds. I was probably the third best offensive lineman on our own team. And by the time I was a senior in high school, I was 6 foot, 275 pounds, and probably one of the, you know, five or six best linemen in our whole county. And I attributed 99% of that to work in the off season. So I was very interested in it. I was very passionate about it. And thanks to my head football coach, Mark Cunningham, who I'd known since I was 5 years old, his faith in me to kind of hand off this whole off-season program to, I think, a 19-year-old at the time gave me a big head start on other coaches because it gave me 85, you know, test subjects, 85 guinea pigs to try my ideas out on and, you know, to trial and error and do all that stuff. So I continued coaching football and track for the next 3 years. After about a year and a half of not competing in track at all, I began attending a school called Concordia, a very small school here in Orange County, where the shot put and discus coach, a gentleman named Len Blutrick, Coach Blue had also coached me in high school. He was coaching there, and when he found out I was going there, he said, you know, you gotta come throw the shot put for me. I was like, hey, you know, Coach Blue, I don't really want to anymore. But he said, just do me a favor, like, you don't have to practice even, just like show up to the meets, maybe practice once or twice a week and do it. So I decided to do that. So I got back into competing myself at that point, had a very, you know, poor season where I threw, this is my fourth year in college, I threw less than I did my freshman year in college, my true freshman year. So that happened and I was just very frustrated. So the summer came and yeah, I didn't want to do track again for my last year of eligibility, my redshirt senior year. I had thrown far enough. While it was frustrating to me, it was still pretty far for a small NAIA school. So they were going to give me a little bit of scholarship money. And I didn't want to do it, but my parents told me, you know, if you want to stay going to this school, expensive private school, like, you need to get some scholarship money. So I kind of, you know, had a week-long pity party for myself and then decided, all right, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it right. I'm going to do it well. I'm going to train hard. I'm going to train full time and throw as far as I could. I was also at that point coming off some back problems the previous year, some pec problems, and started working with a physical therapist. And in that physical therapy time, you know, just sort of, you know, she's asking, well, what do you want to do after college, this and that. And I talked about training athletes and coaching and doing that stuff. So the next year, I have a really successful year. My redshirt junior year, I threw 16-15, which is 53 feet, 1 inch. My redshirt senior year, I threw 19-42, which is 63 feet, 10 inches. So over a 10-foot improvement from one year to the next. At that point, I actually, all ironic kind of things, got offered a job coaching the throwers at the University of California, Berkeley, the school that I had gone to out of high school and then transferred away from. But there had been some coaching staff changes and it was a different situation. So I was excited about the idea of doing that. I had planned to take that job. And then it was like, the more I thought about it, I was throwing really far. I wanted to keep training hard and keep throwing and try to go to the Olympics. And as I took everything into consideration about my own training, about coaching successfully, about being able to pay the bills in the Bay Area, a very expensive place, I was like, man, you know, I'm going to have another job on top of this. So I'm going to be coaching full-time, training full-time, and have another job. Like, I just don't see this being a successful thing because this may come as news to some people, but first-year assistant track coaches don't get paid very much. So I decided to decline that job offer. And then when my physical therapist heard through the grapevine that I was going to stay in Orange County, she approached me with the idea of, like, you know, you were saying you want to train athletes, you want to maybe have like a private facility. And that was just really casual conversations. As I'm on the table getting treatment, she's like, I'd like to talk to you about helping with that. So that was probably middle of May 2009, right as I was graduating college. So I remember the next week, like right after graduation, we went on a family vacation, and I was just sort of mulling this idea over, and I decided, like, you know, I gotta at least explore this opportunity being presented to me. So I called up my buddy Nate Winkler, who we had become like best friends on the track team at Concordia, and I asked him, like, hey, do you want to do this with me? And he was a sprinter, I'm a thrower, speed guy, strength guy. Figured that would be kind of a nice mix. And he, you know, he had planned to be going to dental school after that. And you know, he thought about it for a couple of days and then said, yeah, let's go for it. I'm going to put the dental school idea on hold and try and do this. And then we brought on another coach who I had known briefly, based in Southern California as well.
For me, Juggernaut began with a text message. Chad and I had become friends on the track team. We'd been on the same track team for 2 years. And I was coming back from a flight in Orange County, opened up my phone, had a text message from Chad saying he had gotten the opportunity to start a training facility and wanted me to be his partner. And I just said, are you sure you want me to help you with this? And Chad said, yeah, I can't do this alone. So we met the next morning. That was in mid-June 2009. And about 60 days later, Juggernaut was born. So we had our opening day. And in those 60 days, we put together a business plan. We bought all our equipment. We set up our gym. We went to Home Depot. We got 5 gallon buckets and a concrete diamond grater and smoothed out the concrete in the gym. We painted all the walls with a nine inch paint roller.
And here it is, the warehouse. This space in here is about 5,000 square feet. Over on this side is gonna be where the weight room is. Over on this side is gonna be the turf, the whole way down.
So those are some really long days, but you know, early on, I think Chad and I both knew that we had a great team and we made a great team between the two of us. Both of us were willing to put in the work and make the sacrifices that were necessary in order to take a small business and turn it into something great. And during my first 2 years, that's what we did. And Chad has obviously carried that forward in the last 8 to bring Juggernaut to the 10 years.
The idea kind of gets finalized, like, all right, we're going to go for this on June 1st. Let's say June 1st, 2009. The next month, we spent, you know, writing a business plan, or at least what I thought was a business plan. You know, my degree is in history. Nate's degree was in like pre-med biology. So we didn't know how to write a business plan. We were Googling like, what is a business plan, and trying to make this thing so we could present it to this potential investor and move forward with it. So, you know, we spent the next month doing that. About July 1st, we presented this idea to her, and you know, she went for it. So that was cool and interesting, and it was just sort of going, and we were these two, you know, young guys. I was 22, about to turn 23, Nate was 23. You know, we now had an investor for this new business, something that, you know, I had coached high school football and track and run strength and conditioning for 3 years, but I'd never been a personal trainer. I had never, you know, neither of us had ever run a business. I'd only had 3 jobs ever prior to this. I was a newspaper delivery boy when I was 12 years old, and then I worked at a restaurant a little bit in high school, and then I coached high school football and track. So, you know, not a great background for things, but, you know, she went for it, and then it became the time to, you know, shopping for equipment, looking at warehouses, all that stuff. So this whole process really started June 1st, 2009. July 1st, we get the investment. August 1st, we get keys to a warehouse. We've signed a lease, it's going. And that next month of our life, August 2009, was, I mean, my memory of it is that it's like the hottest August in you know, recorded history. In Laguna Hills, California, that we're in this warehouse, just sweating our ass off from 8 in the morning to, you know, 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night, sweeping all this dust that had been in there. It had previously been a tile warehouse, so they were cutting, you know, ceramic tile in there. So there's that very fine, like, ceramic tile dust on everything, including the rafters. And that was the first day we got the keys, and then we each had this like 1 foot wide, you know, brush on a telescoping pole, and just clean, you know, 1 foot, slide over, 1 foot, slide over, for a 6,000 square foot warehouse. My neck was so sore for the next like 3 days from looking up at those rafters, cleaning it, and whether we were, you know, fixing these chunks that had been out of the cement floor with, quick crete and diamond tip grinders and stuff. And anyone who knows me knows that I'm not handy at all. So this was very much out of my wheelhouse. And then equipment started showing up. We started, putting in flooring and building squat racks and doing all this stuff. So we go June 1st, spark of an idea, or, starting to create a business plan. July 1st, get an investor. August 1st, keys to the warehouse. September 1st, 2009, doors open. We are open for business. But guess what? We didn't have any clients because I wasn't a personal trainer before. I coached high school football. Well, at the same time as we were opening, high school football season was in season, so those guys weren't going to be coming over to train. So we just spent the last month, sweating our asses off setting up all this equipment. I remember that really the day that the equipment showed up, it was like a meathead Christmas, and we just had these pallets of squat racks and everything, and it was such a fun, exciting time. And I would, looking back at it, like, we should have been nervous, but I don't know that we knew enough at the time to be nervous. So we were just excited and optimistic. And late 2009 was also, America is deep in a recession here. There were so many times when we were going through the process of opening this where, adults, real adults had told us, like, oh, wow, that's really brave that you're going to open your own business right now. And, I didn't watch the news or anything. I didn't know about this. I was just a kid that just graduated college. And I was like, oh, what are you talking about? Like, oh, we're in a recession. And I was like, well, what's that? So, I think very fortunate in a lot of ways to have been blissfully ignorant to some of these situations, because we may have been deterred from going after this hope and this dream and goal. So we start with zero clients, and we've got a little bit of runway because of the investment, but we got to make it happen soon, because in our business plan we had made these projections and everything, and now it was time to try and stick to them. So social media, late 2009, I think we had a Facebook page, but Instagram didn't exist. YouTube, I had a YouTube channel that was like kind of for my own training, and we were documenting some stuff along the way, but that wasn't a real avenue. So we just started cold calling places. Like, we went in the white pages or probably using the internet, and I figured club sports was going to be a good niche for us. It's really big here in Orange County, club soccer, swimming, water polo, volleyball. So we're going to pound the pavement on that. Youth sports, stuff like Junior All-American, Pop Warner football, and I figured martial arts. MMA was getting a lot bigger than Orange County's always had a big presence in MMA. So the first place we ever cold called was, I think it was called Orange County Muay Thai or OC Muay Thai. And I knew what Muay Thai was, but I'd seen 10 seconds of it, or I think there was a MTV True Life episode where a guy was a Muay Thai fighter, and that was my extent of understanding of that. But I knew, I was confident in my ability to get people stronger and faster and more endurant. So I call up this OC Muay Thai guy, and he says come by, give me your little spiel. So, that's pretty much the first guy we call, and he actually seems sort of receptive to it. So Nate and I are excited. And that afternoon or the next day, we drive over there to talk to him. And five minutes into it, maybe, he just starts shitting on us, just ripping us like, you don't understand how to train for Muay Thai, and basically saying like lifting weights isn't important and all,
And I remember walking out, Chad and I didn't say a word to each other. We just went back to his car, shut the car doors, and sat in there quietly for about 30 seconds. And then he finally said, well, that didn't go well. So we realized early on that cold calling and billing clients is a very difficult task, and we had a lot to learn.
The substance of what he said or what the pitch was is not even really significant. It was just that this was our first sales experience, and it could not have gone worse. Like, we walk out of there and we're looking at each other like, is this what this is going to be like? Is this how people are going to respond and how it's going to be to try and sell people on this? And like, going from pure optimism to pure discouragement in the span of 5 minutes. But you know, we shook it off, made some more calls, and one of the next calls we made was to a place called Gigante Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, the Jiu-Jitsu school here in Costa Mesa, and you know, a friendly Brazilian accent answers the phone, and he says, "Yeah, you know, come by and tell me about what you do." So I walk into this place again. In 2009, I knew about as much about Jiu-Jitsu as I'd see, you know, I knew who Royce Gracie was, and that was about it. So I walk in there, and it's this 6'7", 250-pound Brazilian guy, Fabio Vilela, big smile on his face, extremely welcoming. I tell him about, you know, what we do, how we think we can help him, and sort of tell him yeah, you know, if you want to come next week and like I'll take you through some sessions, you know, for free. And if you like it, tell your students about it, tell your other, you know, jiu-jitsu friends about it. So that was a much more positive cold calling experience. So the way that we got the name Juggernaut Training Systems, I think getting a good name is an important part of any, you know, of any business. And though we were doing it as a group, you know, it was ultimately like it was my idea. I was the driving force kind of behind this, but I wasn't going to call it like Smith Strength Training or something like that. Joe DeFranco was the huge influence on me. His was DeFranco Training System. So I pretty much had it in my mind, you know, something training systems, but Smith Training Systems, that wasn't going to cut it because it's just way too common of a name. So the Juggernaut, you know, comes from the comic book, the like X-Men bad guys, Juggernaut. I was never into comic books myself, but when I was playing high school football, that had kind of become a nickname for me. I don't know if it was because I had like big traps that went up to my ears, like the Juggernaut helmet or whatever, but once that name, you know, came into my mind, it was no doubt like that is the name. Some people told us like name's too long, it's too hard to spell. There's still people that misspell it now. There's still people who are like writing, you know, DMs to me saying I'm such a big fan of Juggernaut, Juggernaut Training Systems. So I don't know if they're that big of a fan, but maybe they're like British or something and it's a fancier spelling over there. But yeah, that's how the name came about.